Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I wake up in the morning at 6 o'clock. They say there may be rain, but the sun is hot. I wish I had some time just to kill today. And I wish I had a dime for every bill I got to pay. Some days you lose, you win. And the water's as high as the times you're in. So I jump back into where I learned to swim. Try to keep my head above it the best I can. That's why here I am.
My good friend Michael Franti.
Waiting for the storm.
He's your artist of the day. If you ever need a little pick-me-up, just get on Spotify and download some Michael Franti. He'll take care of it, no problem. Let us get straight to the phones. Story here from the Kansas City Star. Twice this spring, Heather Wiley let a doctor inject an experimental COVID-19 vaccine into her arm, not knowing if it might have side effects, but willingly accepting the risk. She was human subject number 8. She couldn't sleep in those first days of lockdown in March, worried about the threat that this unknown virus posed to her family and the world. Hanging out on the internet at 2 o'clock in the morning one night, she stumbled across information about a vaccine trial for volunteers in Kansas City.
So when Wiley told her family what she was planning to do, Scott, her sister, Ellie Lilly, who's a seventh grade teacher in Lee's Summit, decided to sign up for the trial too. Ellie was human subject number 14. And quoting here from the Kansas City Star article, she says, "You know, I'm a history teacher, so being part of history, that's pretty cool. I can say to my grandkids, your grandma was a part of history."
Ellie, good afternoon and welcome. Number 14, or should we call you number 14?
You can call me whatever you want. I'm pretty excited to be on this show. I love you guys.
Well, we love you. And I saw this story in the Star the last couple of days, and I said, this is the most exciting thing I've read in a while, because we've all heard there are these phase 1 trials, but I've never had the opportunity to speak with anyone who's involved. How did this unfold for you?
Well, my sister, Heather, I mean, the article really accurately portrays her research, because she really was up at night just kind of pining over this whole pandemic situation. And she did come across the research. And so she reached out to me. I'm the youngest of 5 girls, and so we have a group text with our mother. And she put it on the group text that she had been in contact with the Center for Pharmaceutical Research and that she was in. So that week she was getting ready to go have her initial physical, and she told us about the fact that she had the appointment. And my first question was, do they have any spots available? I want in on this deal. And she gave me the number to call, and I called. I had actually, the day prior to her texting me about it, she texted on a Monday. So that Sunday, I was watching online church, and I was watching Adam Hamilton, who you guys have had on multiple times,
yeah,
in Church of the Resurrection. And he said in the sermon, this was like end of March, early April, he said, you know, what are you doing to help this cause? And of course, the church had done all of these great things for you know, our healthcare workers and, you know, standing outside of hospitals to cheer them on when they were during the shift change and blinking lights and horns and things like this. And so I kept thinking, well, I'm online teaching, but that's my job. That's what I'm supposed to do at this point. And so I was really thinking, what can I do? And then when my sister sent that text, I was like, this is it. This is exactly what I need to do.
Well, so, Ellie, it's one thing to draw signs for healthcare workers or provide meals. It's another thing to say, I will be a guinea pig. I mean, that's basically what you agreed to do.
Right.
And see how this thing plays out. And we want to be clear, this is not a placebo. You actually got the vaccine.
Yes. So phase one of any vaccine trial does not have a placebo. So you know that you're going to get the actual product, the vaccine. So we knew, both of us knew going in that, you know, there was not a placebo. And actually, we had discussed it and talked about how we both felt like, if there was a placebo, we didn't really know if we would do it because we thought that, I mean, maybe this is crazy, but we thought that that would be a little bit more emotionally taxing to not really know if you had gotten it or
right.
not. And so I just kind of, you know, went for it, I guess.
Have you had any side effects?
Not at all. Not at all. The interesting thing about that is that, so my sister, when she got the shot before I did, and she obviously was number 8. I was number 14. So the phase one group is the dosing group where they're testing safety. I mean, they're really trying to determine how much you would give the public if the vaccine was approved. And so that's part of the phase one sort of trial. So Heather got one shot on her first visit, and then she got a booster on the second visit. I got two shots on my first visit, and then I got two shots on my second visit as a booster.
Oh, wow.
So,
do you walk into a grocery store like, bring it? I ain't wearing no mask.
Somebody asked me the other day how I was feeling, and I said, bulletproof.
I mean, be careful, kid.
So, Ellie, then what do they do? These are all such dumb questions, but I haven't researched like vaccine trials. Do they then expose you to it and see what happens?
No, they do not do that. So Dr. Irvin is in charge of our study at the Center for Pharmaceutical Research, and he has done over 800 trials in his lifetime. I mean, this is like his life's work. So I asked him that very question, and he said, that's unethical. You know, it's just not what you do.
Got it.
Yeah, and so that's not part of the study. Oddly enough, we will not know how our bodies reacted to the vaccine until April of 2021. So we got our shots in April of 2020.
Why April of 2021?
That is the 1 year mark, and I guess that's the magic number for vaccine trials.
Okay, so they will not draw your blood to see if you have built immunity?
No, they've been drawing blood. So we have had a total of probably 9 appointments altogether. So we were going in once every couple of weeks, and then it turned into once a month, and we were giving, you know, we always give a blood sample and urine sample.
Got it.
And they're constantly researching you know, what's going on with us, but they won't tell you. They won't tell you exactly how your body responds.
Don't you just want to say, can't you give me a hint?
So you don't know if you've had it or...
Or if you're immune to it.
If it worked?
I don't know if it worked. We don't know if it works. We don't know. Now, we do know that they are going to release a peer-reviewed study with phase one results. They're supposed to do that soon. And so when I say phase one results, I mean, they're not going to say human subject number 14 responded in this way. They're just going to give an overall picture
right.
about how phase one responded. Now, they did come out about a month ago and said that things were going well and that a phase one participant had responded in a positive way. And that was really kind of it. So it was a little bit of a nugget. But my sister and daughter had COVID. She tested positive, and my sister took care of her, and she tested twice and was negative both times.
Ellie, can you hang on just for a minute? Because I know we have so many questions. We have people on the text line with questions.
Yes, absolutely.
Can you put your mask back on?
It's not on right now.
I know.
Just in case.
That's why I asked if you'd put it back on. I don't want to get the COVID actually, through the phone here.
I do wear it. I am very careful, and so is my sister. We are both very careful still.
Okay. Yes. All right. Hang on, patient number 14.
I'm hanging on.
COVID dripping from your lips. You hang on.
Okay, I'm hanging on.
She doesn't have that. She's got the golden ticket, Scott.
No, well,
she either has
the golden ticket or the COVID is literally dripping off of her lips. We'll get back with Ellie in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping.
Haunting is the only way to describe this version.
And the vision that was planted in
Sound of Silence by Disturbed.
Let's
get back with patient number 14, Ellie, who has received... Ellie, if don't let me speak for you, please. You've received two COVID-19 air quote vaccines, is that correct?
I received two shots on my first visit and then a booster and on a second visit.
So you've three then?
Well, no, the booster was also two shots. So four.
Yeah. Because they're trying to figure out what is the best dose. How much do we give? And you again had no side effects at all, Ellie?
None. I was The day of the first injection, that first shot day, I mean, I was nervous and a little emotional. And the whole first injection day was about a 3-hour appointment just because you're doing the prep work prior to, which is, you know, you give a blood sample, a urine sample, and then you kind of wait around for them to come give you the shot. And then you wait after the shot is given to you to make sure that things are going well, you know, and that you're not having any adverse reactions, and then you go home. So by the time I got home, I was pretty mentally exhausted.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
And so I kept thinking, am I tired because of the shot? Am I tired because I'm exhausted?
Am I getting ready to die?
Yeah, of course.
Right. I mean, I was sort of analyzing every feeling that I was having, but no, I didn't have any tenderness in my arm.
Have you recognized what you are doing? The fact that you're on sort of the forefront, if you will, of probably the biggest story of our lifetime?
My sister and I both, I think we're recently really, you know, that it... grappling with that. I mean, it's like, I think when we initially did it, we were like, yeah, let's, you know, we were all in, we knew the risks, we understood the risks, because they really go over that information with you. And it was almost like, we knew we wanted to do something, and we knew that this was going to be helpful in some way, even if our vaccine doesn't work, we really felt
but you
like...
But you have kids, right?
Yeah, I have kids.
Weren't you petrified?
I don't really know how to explain it. I felt really peaceful and calm about my decision. And so I really did not worry about it that much. I don't know why. I mean, I'm a faithful person. I prayed about it. I just felt like it was the right thing to do. And I really had a calming sense throughout the whole process and have. So now that we're really talking about vaccines a lot in the news lately, now I've really sort of reflected and gone, wow,
yeah,
this is kind of huge.
So one of the things I want to ask you, Ellie, because you're a teacher, we have talked on this program before about the polio vaccine many years ago and how that really at the time was the largest public health experiment in the history of the world. And they used children as guinea pigs. They would never be able to reproduce that today because of the ethics involved. Have you talked to your students about this?
Well, we are right now, I'm in the LSR 7, the Summit District, so we are in a virtual setting right
now.
Got it. So I have not spoken to my kids about it, but I will, definitely at some point.
Because you're walking history. I mean, I do believe that, Ellie. I really believe we have not seen something on this scale since the polio experiment and the rush to get this figured out.
It's definitely been 70 years.
Oh, with the rush to just try and get this figured out as so many people are dying.
Right. And I am so hopeful that we can figure it out quick, but I'm also, my sister and I both are very we believe in the science and we hope that it doesn't get rushed through before phase three is done, that it's safe. You know, you've got to finish phase three in a trial completely, we think, just based on what we know. And even the doctor in charge of our study, Dr. Irvin, says all the time when he's interviewed and when you talk to him, he says, we have to do it quick because we need it, but it needs to be safe.
Mm. And so done correctly.
We cannot skip steps. So actually our vaccine is, we just started phase two, three. So we are a little bit behind all the other companies that you're hearing about, Moderna and AstraZeneca.
Sure. But isn't it true the more the better? I mean, if your vaccine works and the Moderna vaccine works, bring it.
Yes, and that's what Dr. Irvin said as well. We need multiple vaccines to work. I mean, we need a lot of success with this. We need as many as we can get, you know, because we're thinking, you know, you're thinking worldwide. I mean, if people will take the vaccine, and I think that's a whole nother show.
Oh, sure it is. I've always said if they don't want the vaccine, that's their problem. Bring it. I want it.
Yeah, I'll take your place.
I'll take theirs.
Yeah, and it's definitely, you go through something like this and you certainly do get a lot of opinions. I mean, you get a lot of people that think you're completely crazy for doing it. And then other people are saying, thank you. It seems like it's one or the other.
Well, Ellie, we are saying thank you. And please tell your sister thank you, because this is amazing.
And Ellie, do you know an Aunt Jackie?
Yes, that's my Aunt Jackie.
She says hello.
She's on the text line saying hello.
Hi, Aunt Jackie.
Hey, Ellie, you let us know how things go, okay?
I will. I definitely will. Thank you for having me on. I love your show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for joining us.
All right. Be well, okay, kid?
All right. Thank you.
All right. And Aunt Jackie says hi.
Okay. Hi, Aunt Jackie.
Okay. Good.
Wouldn't you just want to be to the nurse like, wink at me if I have immunity? Just wink at me.
And then I would go to Hy-Vee and be like, bring it.
Isn't that exciting?
Oh, look at me licking everything.
Would you have done it, Scott, if you were of the right health and age and everything they were looking for? Would you have done it
without children
right now? Would you have done it?
No,
I would.
Okay.
Scott,
I would
have died from anxiety.
Now I would want you to go first, but then I would go.
Hey, huge thanks to Ellie, a.k.a. patient number 14, for joining us on the program.
Story. Great story.
Yeah, how'd you find her?
Kansas City Star did a fantastic article on it at some point when I was off. I don't remember when. And I thought this is the most...
Yeah, you've been off for a long time.
This is the most positive I've thought and been since reading that article. I thought, okay, this is something good. Mm-hmm. People want good, let's move the ball forward news, and that's
sure.
It. So... huge thanks to Ellie and her sister.
No, she was great. And Aunt Jackie says hello. And Jackie apparently listens as well.
Apparently so.
What was this gender reveal story you sent us over the weekend?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's a little bit older, but you know how ridiculous these gender reveal parties have become?
Dumb. They've gotten dumb.
There's a woman who apparently does these TikTok videos or whatever. You know how there's... internet stars. She's kind of a comedian, I think. And instead of doing the traditional let's hit a baseball or open a cake.
Maybe a pinata. I don't know if we're going to have time.
In making fun of the disaster that has been the recent gender reveal with the forest fires in California, she decided to let loose gas-colored flatulence to announce the birth of a boy.
That is classic.
She farted out a blue haze. And in the background, you see her friends going, "Oh, it's a boy! It's a boy!"
Oh, there was some steam behind it.
It is so funny. And of course, I'm sure it's not true. I mean, maybe it is. I don't care.
What do you mean it's not true?
Thing I have ever seen. It's on Instagram. In Louisiana, a man has been arrested after hiding a loaded handgun.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
In his buttocks. From the New York Daily News, it is always the last place you'd look. Louisiana police found a loaded, concealed handgun, literally, on the inside of a suspect's buttocks during a strip search after he was arrested on other charges. Following a call about suspicious activity, 24-year-old Justin Savoy was taken into custody for possession of a handgun, marijuana, and drug paraphernalia. Multiple handguns and homemade silencers.
There's nothing silent about that.
It was an SPD. We're also found inside of his truck. However, surprises continue to pile up for investigators because during a follow-up search, a 4-inch 25 Titan pistol was found, quote, on his person. Savoy pleaded guilty and received a 5-year suspended sentence on Friday. He is barred from owning firearms, visiting bars, ingesting excessive amounts of alcohol, and using illegal drugs as part of his probation. Yeah, okay. And then I want to talk about this Danish TV show. On one TV show, the truth is actually naked. This is an award-winning television program called Ultra Strips Down that puts nude adults on display in front of younger people.
No. That's not okay.
It is not okay. But listen to the reason why. The series allows its young participants to ask the grown-up volunteers whatever questions are on their minds in order to promote body positivity and combat body shaming. Despite Denmark's relatively permissive attitude toward nudity and its well-intentioned mission, the show has sparked backlash, as you can imagine.
You think?
Children are curious about the human form, okay? This is their attempt to try and strip it all down. We don't all look like models. We don't look like anyone you see probably on the front cover of a magazine. This is what real human bodies look like. Now,
Do you really believe the words that came out of your mouth?
I think this could be done in a better way, but I think the end goal is a good one. Do you remember Jamie Lee Curtis a few years ago took out an ad? Look it up. Was it in the New York Times or USA Today? Full page ad. She was wearing underwear and a sports bra. And she just let everything out. And in her ad, she was trying to promote body positivity. That, yes, I'm an actress. This is what I really look like. Stop trying to attain the unattainable ideal of what you think on Instagram or TikTok these young actresses should look like.
Is that what you're talking about?
There she is. She's absolutely beautiful. Okay. That is Jamie Lee Curtis.
That was 18 years ago. That was 2002.
Stripped down to a sports bra and boy shorts, booty shorts.
Yeah.
And I don't remember exactly what she said, but the end goal was essentially the same, Scott. Now, do I think we should all be disrobing in front of kids going, look, this is what adult people look like naked? No. But I think the goal there is a great goal to have.
It says Curtis, famously fit in movies like Perfect and True Lies.
Yeah.
Remember her in True Lies with Arnold Schwarzenegger? Looks like what she is. Keep in mind, this was written in 2002. A 43-year-old mother of two, squishy in the middle,
yep,
chunky in the thighs,
yep,
flabby in the back, thick at the knees and ankles. On the next page of the magazine is another photograph. It's glam, Jamie, as Curtis calls her gussied-up self. She is gorgeous in a sleek black dress, carefully chosen to elongate and slim her torso and sling back heels with ankle ties. The magazine reveals, at Curtis's request, that the transformation took 13 people and 3 hours.
Yep. 13 people made her up, and that's what she looks like in a magazine or on TV. And what's wrong with reminding children that no one really looks like the people you see on TV? For the most part.
Nothing. Nothing.
The creators say this is educational television for children and families.
Wait. Let's go back to the original story.
Who can then have a healthy talk about what real bodies look like.
Okay. A, I did not need a stranger to stand in front of me naked. What?
Keep going.
To realize that that's not what real human bodies look
like. Well, not as a 47-year-old man you didn't, but you did not have insecurities at age 13 or 15 or 17. Of course you did.
As far as my body was concerned?
As far as what you think you're supposed to look like.
I think what you're doing, with respect, is you're looking at this through the prism of a 14, 15-year-old girl. I would argue most boys don't have that.
Ooh. Look up the spiking rates of anorexia and bulimia in young men. Your jaw will drop.
Okay.
And we have done that.
You asked me a direct question. Did I feel that way about my body when I was... Now, do I when I'm 49? Yeah. I look at people like Tom Brady, I'm like, God dang it, why can't I look like that? You know, at 49, I want to be thinner. I want to be more fit. But at 15, 16?
But at 15, you probably looked like you thought you should look. And you were healthy within your own body. And all I'm saying is I think more and more kids are not healthy in their own, feeling healthy in their own body and skin.
Dana, you may be right. But what I'm saying is, when I was 15 years old, I didn't have this feeling of, you know, I don't feel comfortable in my own skin. I also wasn't a girl, okay? Not yet.
It's way worse for girls. However,
I agree with you on that.
I do think boys struggle.
There was a joke in there.
I know.
She just right over the head. I mean, if your argument is that 15, 16, 17-year-old girls have body issues or, you know, go through the checkout counter with their mom at the supermarket and they look at these magazines and they're like, I don't look like that. You're not going to get an argument out of me. What I'm saying is I would argue, and again, I haven't been a teenager in 30 years, but I did not have those body issues when I was a kid. Then again, I was pretty hot.
Wow.
I thought I was overly thin. I still think I'm overly thin, but...
That was a joke, by the way.
Then a car accident happened.
Then it was anemic.
Wow.
576-7798. I don't want to read too little or too much into this next story. But some federal buildings in downtown Louisville, Kentucky, will be closed this week in a move believed to coincide with an expected announcement by Attorney General Daniel Cameron and his office's investigation into the killing of Breonna Taylor. The Gene Snyder U.S. Courthouse will be closed to the public through Friday of this week.
They have boards on all of the windows. They have boarded up the windows of the courthouse.
All scheduled in-court appearances will be continued or converted to video conference proceedings at the discretion of the presiding judge. The U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services field office in Louisville will also be closed during that period, quote, due to a court order. The closures come as a grand jury has been impaneled in Louisville, and sources have told CNN that it will at some point take up Breonna Taylor's case. None of the officers involved in her death have been arrested or charged as of yet. Two remain on the force while a third officer was fired and is now appealing to get his job back. Do you want to ask me the question you asked me off the air?
If they are asking for security and they have boarded up the courthouse windows today, that says to you what?
No charges.
Taylor was a 26-year-old emergency room technician and aspiring nurse who was fatally shot after police broke down the door to her apartment while executing a no-knock warrant.
It was the wrong house. Wrong apartment. Her boyfriend,
he fired back.
He did. Well, he claims he fired a warning shot.
It says 26 shots were fired.
The officer who was fired, the one who is trying to get his job back, I need not remind you, or maybe I need to remind everyone, fired 8 bullets into the apartment from outside. Just blindly fired 8 bullets into the apartment. He is the officer who has been fired, who is fighting to get his job back.
Man. You know, you could also read this another way, that out of an abundance of caution, because any district attorney worth their salt isn't going to leak the decision that's about to be made. Now, could someone else in the office leak that decision? Yes. Mm-hmm.
You don't think it tells you that there are going to be no charges?
I don't think it looks good. I don't think it looks good.
They're boarding up the federal courthouse?
The closures come as a grand jury has been impaneled. And sources have told CNN that at some point the grand jury will take up Taylor's case, mm-hmm. which would be separate from the district attorney decision to, is this over charges, Scott, this week, or over disciplinary action for those left on the force? Or do you know?
I don't. Somebody says it wasn't the wrong house. Correction needed.
Were they looking for?
They were looking for drugs.
Well, yes.
They found none. So either it was, so if I'm mistaken there, texter, and it was the right house, okay, then their police work sucks.
The couple was asleep when officers allegedly tried to break down the door, which prompted Walker, a USPS worker, Postal Service worker, mm-hmm. to get his licensed gun and fire at the door. The officers returned fire, killing Taylor, who was an EMT in her sleep. No drugs were found in the residence.
Correct. And they executed a no-knock warrant. We shall take this up another time, because it is time to go. Thank God. This one goes out to you and yours. Everyone have a great evening. That guy over there is the finest man in all of America. His name is Sam Stevie III. She is Dana Wright. I am Scott Parks. God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. And be good. Don't tell the people that they gotta go.
I want to keep up to the early morning. I said, hey, no, no. I said, hey, no, no. You've been a soldier, girl. And I would do anything for you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.